And as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside. And on the way, he said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day." I want to preach the good news about the cross. Lord Jesus, we thank you today because we feel your presence. And there is a push, a tug of war, a battle going on, God, in our building today and in our bodies and in our minds and our hearts, where the flesh is trying to rule the roost, trying to suppress the power of the Spirit. The Spirit is fighting back to push the carnal mind down and to bring it into subjection. And I pray that as we preach the word today, this battle, this tide of this battle would turn, and that the Spirit would get the upper hand today in our hearts and in our minds, and that we would walk out of this place with a spiritual victory. In Jesus' name. If you want to walk out of this place with a spiritual victory, say amen.
Amen.
If you want to walk out of this place defeated, just like you were when you came in, say amen. All right, now I know you're paying attention. Jesus said to his disciples, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem." Church, we cannot avoid the road God calls us to take. We cannot avoid the road that God calls us to take. And for Jesus, the cross was inevitable. This is the third time that he is telling his disciples, as it gets closer and closer to becoming a reality, he's filling them in with more and more details about what is about to happen in his life. And there is no way around the cross. The song that we used to sing when we were kids: "God is so high, you can't go over him. So wide, you can't go around him. So deep, you can't go under him. So you've got to go in at the door." At the cross, Jesus realized that he would hang on outside of the gates of Jerusalem was the door that he had to pass through. Amen. God calls us to deal and take up crosses and go through things in our life. And there is no way around them. We have to go through them. The Apostle Paul was warned in the book of Acts over and over by different people. He said, they kept telling him, "You go over here to preach in Ephesus." And they said that somebody would give a tongue and somebody would give an interpretation. And they would say, "Paul, you're going to Jerusalem, and you're going to be bound in chains and thrown in prison. And you go preach over at the Colossae or Corinth or some of these other places." He'd make his way to Antioch, say, and there they would have a great church service, and he would preach, and the worship would be just right, and somebody would give a tongue and interpretation, and they would say, "Paul, you're going up to Jerusalem, and you're going to be bound and thrown in prison." And then even to really highlight the point, that the great prophet in the early church, Agabus, came down, and he took off his belt, and he grabbed Paul, and he wrapped his belt around Paul's hands and tied him up. And he said, "Behold, by the man whose hands are bound, when you go to Jerusalem, you are going to be bound and imprisoned." And Paul said this: "So what? Why are you worrying me to death about what I already know I have to do?" He said, I'm not just ready to be bound, and I'm not just ready to be thrown into prison, but I am ready to die for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus knew that He was going to Jerusalem. And it teaches us to understand, amen, that sometimes we are so stubborn about so many things that are meaningless. And we too easily find too many excuses to shrink away from the road God calls us to take. I appreciate Sister Linda, and she's come to us through Feed My Sheep, and we've been enjoying her fellowship and friendship, and we started a Bible study, and we started these services on Friday night, and one of the Friday night services, she pulled me aside after it was over, and she said to me, and I'm telling her testimony tonight, hallelujah, today, this evening, Sister Paris. Hallelujah. And she said, I just wanted to tell you that I have received the gift of the Holy Spirit and I have spoken in tongues. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she said, we were in a revival service at your church, I believe is what she said. And I was sitting in the pews and God filled me with the Holy Spirit and I began to speak in tongues. And then she told me, she said, and I've been speaking in tongues ever since. And I was like, how come? And I was thinking to myself, how come nobody knows about this? And I'm saying all that to say this, that God has been talking to her and awakening the spiritual life that He wants her to have. God has been talking to her and stirring and churning things up inside of her. And her husband has been a witness and a testimony to her for a long time. But she has kind of stubbornly refused to believe and receive. But now all of the hard work is paying off. All of the prayers are paying off. And now she's filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, and enjoying the Word and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit like she never has before. And I'm saying all that to say this, that we were talking in our Bible study, and she said, I need to be baptized. And we went through it and we talked about it and we explained it and tried to make sure that we were as clear as we possibly could be. Amen, Brother Stacy. We like to be as clear as we possibly can be. Amen. And you know how the pastor is. If you're not clear enough, he will drill down a little bit deeper until he strikes some oil. And so she said to me this on our Bible study this week. She said, I feel the Holy Spirit is telling me that I need to join your church. And I feel the Holy Spirit is telling me that I need to do whatever it takes to join and become a member of your church. And she said, if it means that I need to be baptized again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then that's what I want to do. I want to be baptized on Sunday in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I like what she said, and I'll just paraphrase. She said, I don't really know. Sometimes you don't understand everything that God is calling you to do. He doesn't always give you the details. But she said this, if God is calling me to do it, then it must mean that there are things that are going to happen, things that are going to change. If I'll just do what the Holy Spirit tells me to do, if I'll get the stubbornness that I have about other things in my life toward the stubbornness of doing what God wants to do in my life. Amen. There's no telling that God, Paul the Apostle, had bigger fish to fry. Amen. He understood that there were huge opportunities. And where do you go when handkerchiefs that have been touched by you heal people? Where do you go when you have started churches in city after city? When you stirred up riots in town after town? When you've seen demons cast out? When you see people filled with the Holy Spirit left and right? Amen. Where you took a group of 12 John the Baptist disciples and you said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they say, we've never even heard of the Holy Ghost. And so he said, well, how were you baptized? And they say, well, we were baptized by John unto repentance, that we should believe in the one who was to come. And he said, let's get you baptized in the name of the one who was to come. And Paul baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues. That's pretty awesome ministry, isn't it? Where do that everybody, including the world, had completely forgotten about. And God would use him to have a healing crusade and to preach Jesus. Amen. God had bigger things for him to do. God had bigger things to do with Jesus. Hallelujah. Than just to do a little miracle and feed people with loaves and fishes. But there was a cross that he was called to bear. There was a prison. There was persecution. There were betrayals and accusations. There were going to be condemnations that were going to come down the pike for the Apostle Paul. That were going to come down the pike for Jesus Christ. And in so doing, Brother Stacy, like you said in worship, it would position them exactly where God needed them to be to affect a pivotal influence on the world. Hallelujah. Because it's when God's greatest power and his greatest victories can only take place when we are at our weakest and most vulnerable, when we have totally surrendered to God. So often we fight for control and we jostle for position. We defend, justify, and remonstrate. But we cannot obtain victory until the flesh is totally crushed and we are living by the Spirit alone. Hallelujah. And we know that this transition has happened. And we know that we have been positioned. And we know that we have reached a pivotal moment in our lives. Hallelujah. We are hanging on the cross. And we stop praying for ourselves. And we start praying for our enemies. Jesus transitioned from the Garden of Gethsemane and praying, "Let this cup pass from me," to hanging on the cross of Calvary and praying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." There is a transition that happens in the life of a saint of God when they stop praying about their own problems, when they stop whining about the cross that they have to bear, and they begin to see that there is a positioning that is taking place, that there is a crushing and a humbling and a breaking that is taking place. And God is positioning you to be a world changer. Have you ever heard of somebody who has become great in our world that did not have a testimony of crushing, desolation, and great tragedy and horrific sufferings that they have been through? St. John of the Cross, in his treatise, The Dark Night of the Soul, he says, "Even so, likewise, the preparation which God granted to Job in order that he might speak with him consisted not in those delights and glories which Job himself reports that he was wont to have in his God, but in leaving him naked upon a dunghill, abandoned and even persecuted by his friends, filled with anguish and bitterness, and the earth covered with worms. And then the Most High God, he that lifts up the poor man from the dunghill, was pleased to come down and speak with him there face to face, revealing to him the depths and heights of his wisdom in a way that he had never done in the time of his prosperity. And can we say, in a way that he had never done with any man or woman who had ever walked the face of the earth to that moment? Not even to Noah had such a great word come. Hallelujah. Not even to Enoch were such things written about that Job heard from the voice and the mouth of God. As he said, scraping the boils and pus coming out of his skin and worms crawling on his feet and his heart absolutely desolate. Jesus is calling us to embrace the cross. Jesus is calling us to embrace his death. Hallelujah. We live in a world that for every person who embraces premature death, and you hear about it and it seems so shocking, but for every person that embraces a premature death, there are thousands upon thousands that are doing whatever they can to to stay alive. We can't fathom and comprehend the depth of our own death, let alone the passing of our loved ones that have left us so heartbroken and grief-stricken. But Jesus is going to teach His disciples. Amen. He's going to show them by His example. I'm not just a miracle worker. I'm not just a healer. I'm not just a devil chaser. I'm not just an accomplished, authoritative preacher. But I know that there is a greater calling for me. And I'm not just going to tell you, amen, that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. But I am going to show you there is going to come a time in every believer's life where you have done and seen all that you can from where you are. And God is going to call you to the hill of Golgotha to be willingly laid down and have your hands and your feet nailed to a tree, because God is going to take you and crush you and break you and transform you and make a vessel out of you of honor to do things through you and in your life that you could not have imagined.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? We're all looking for this hallowed place where we can be happy. Hallelujah. We're all looking for this hallowed place where we can enjoy our lives. We're all searching for meaning and purpose. We all want to feel that deep inner yearning, amen, for joy and satisfaction. But we're not going to find it in any of the places that we have been looking. We're not going to find it by breaking every commandment and avoiding every painful road that God calls us to. St. John of the Cross also said this, that many of these would have God will that which they themselves will, and are fretful at having to will that which He wills, and find it repugnant to accommodate their will to that of God. Hence it happens to them that oftentimes they think that wherein they find not their own will and pleasure is not the will of God. How convenient is that? Hallelujah. Well, I don't feel like that's the right thing to do. It must not be the will of God. That may work, amen, when you're a new believer. Hallelujah. You may be able to open up your Bible when you're 6 months into your relationship with Jesus and flip through the pages and open it up and say, oh, here's the word of the Lord for me today. The friend God is going to call you to a place where that's not going to work for you anymore. And he goes on and he says, and that on the other hand, when they themselves find satisfaction, God is satisfied. And thus they measure God by themselves and not themselves by God, acting quite contrarily to that which He Himself taught in the gospel. Amen, Brother Philip. We like to think, amen, there are not that many people coming to the Feed My Sheep Friday night worship service anymore. Hallelujah. I'd like to be sitting at the house kicking my feet up and relaxing a little bit. Why do I have to go to church again? I've already been down there every day this week. And God said, I didn't ask you about that. I told you to have church on Friday nights.
Amen.
And we talked about it, didn't we? We prayed about it, haven't we? We've been praying about it, and talking about it. And I just said to Brother Philip, whatever you feel led to do, brother. And I told him, I said, you know, you said that if we drop off, then it will lose its momentum. We may not be able to ever get that back. And we talked about it. Which I said, if you feel led to do, I said, brother, whatever you feel led to do in the Holy Ghost, that's what we're going to do. If you feel like we need to take a break, we'll take a break and we won't worry about it. But if you feel like we need to keep on going ahead, we'll keep on going ahead and we'll have your back up and we'll keep on pushing and we'll keep on pressing. And he said, well, I know the Lord spoke to me and told me to do that. But friend, it's like a cross that Jesus Jesus called us to bear. It leaves blisters on your shoulders and hands. Amen. It leaves blisters on your feet, and your back feels like it's breaking. Amen. But last Friday night we had 22 in church at Feed My Spirit. And I'll tell you what, amen, I preached some of the best sermons I preached this year. I preached on Friday night at Feed My Sheep.
Amen.
Because when you bear your cross, and when you get on that cross, and you let yourself be humbled down, and you let yourself be obedient, the Bible says Jesus learned obedience by the things that He suffered. Hallelujah. When you will lay, amen, your ego down on the cross. Pride has got to die on the cross. You think you're the only one that struggles with the problems that you do. The apostle said this. He said there is no temptation that should have been taken by that is not common to man. Your brothers in the world and your other brothers in the church are going through the same things that you're going through. But God will not suffer you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will make a way of escape. And friend, pride has got to die on the cross. You're not the only one that's got an ego. Those little egos got to die on the cross of Calvary. You're not the only one, amen, that lusts. But lust has got to be nailed to the cross of Jesus. You're not the only one with a carnal mind, but our carnal minds need to be nailed to the cross.
Amen.
And at this point in the message, you're saying, I thought your sermon title said the good news about the cross. Jesus threw in a little bit of about 8 words at the end of His little dissertation of His upcoming sufferings. And He said, on the third day. And He will be raised on the third day.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I thought about preaching a sermon, the 3 longest days. If you've ever been in a trial, Brother Jason Berner, you know what it's like. Them 3 days are long. And God gets to pick and choose whether a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as a day. And you know when you're going through that cross, there usually the day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. And the cross seems like it's going to last forever. But Jesus left him with an understanding of, amen, that the hardest and most painful experiences that we go through as the saints of the Most High God are going to lead us to the deepest insights and the greatest joys that we can ever know in this world. Amen. There's a lot of pointless pain and unrewarded suffering that is in our world today. But for those of us who believe and live in Jesus, there is a hope of joy and blessing and reward through the cross of Jesus. For the believer, it is more than just serendipity or coincidence. And for a believer, it's more than just the silver lining of a storm cloud. Amen. For us, it is a transformation. Hallelujah. I embrace the cross because I know that on the other side is a transformation. I embrace the cross because I know that on the other side is a resurrection. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody shout praise to Jesus right now. I know that on the other side of the cross is a resurrection that is coming to me. When my pride is nailed to the cross of God, amen, God will raise us up and exalt us to heights that we can never reach because Jesus humbled Himself, made Himself a man and became someone of no reputation and became a servant and became obedient to death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess You want to get the best of your enemies? Embrace your cross. Hallelujah. If you want to get the better of your enemies, amen, stop whining and praying about your problems and start praying for their salvation and forgiveness from God. When our lust dies on that old cross, God will raise us up holy and pure with an impenetrable armor of light. Amen. When our carnal mind bleeds its toxic blood and saturates the ground with its poisonous nonsense, God will raise us up, amen, to preach in peace with creativity, soundness of mind, and clarity of divine wisdom. When you embrace that cross, when you crucify the lust and the lust of flesh and the lust thereof, God will give to you the insights that you are trying to get through. Like what Brother Stacy was saying earlier about praying. Amen. If you've been praying for something and God hasn't answered you, and then he went into that beautiful word, maybe God is trying to position you. Maybe God is trying to teach you something. Maybe God is trying to prepare you so that you can get your prayer answered. Because in the current state that you are in no shape to have your prayers answered. And the only thing that can change that is a cross. And sometimes the main thing that's holding up our prayers, sometimes the biggest obstacle to getting our prayers answered, is the junk and the garbage that we allow to live inside of us and in our homes and in our minds and in our spirits and our bodies that we have not crucified with Christ. Amen. But when our precious little egos breathe their last breath and slump over, hanging only by the nails on the cross, then God will raise us up with powers of compassion and an empathy that will be able to minister perfectly to a world that is groaning and delirious and racked with sickness and disease and sin. Hallelujah. We cannot inspire others and teach them to live with Jesus until we have learned to die with Jesus. Psalm 51 in David's famous confessionary psalm, he says something there talking about forgiveness and talking about being so defeated and discouraged. And he said this. He said, then. Everybody say then. The things that God has called you to do cannot happen until after. He said, then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will return to you. It's when we have died on the cross of Calvary with Jesus. It's when we have crucified the flesh and the lust thereof with Jesus. Amen. That we will be exalted and raised up and seated with Him in heavenly places. And the resurrection will take place in our lives. And people will look at you and they will not even know who you are anymore. Because you no longer walk around, amen, with a black cloud over your head. You no longer walk around critical and criticizing and accusing everybody like your father the devil. But you have become like your Father in heaven, amen, who is pure light and truth and love and joy. And those things will flow inside of you when you have learned that their true source cannot be found on the planet Earth.
Amen. Amen.
When you find that their true source comes from within, kingdom. Paul said, I believe we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved.
Amen.
We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying the body of the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Because it is through the cross, amen, that the Holy Spirit was released. Hallelujah. Because Jesus had to be glorified before the Spirit could be sent out. Hallelujah. But He could not be glorified if He had not previously been humiliated. Hallelujah. God is bringing you to a cross of humiliation because He has a crown of exaltation that He wants to put upon your head. Hallelujah. And so we die in this body. You know, the Apostle Paul said this famous statement, I die daily. And you know where that's found in the Scripture? It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And does anybody know what 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about? Hallelujah. It talks about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if Jesus did not resurrect from the dead, then you are still dead in your sins. If Jesus didn't die and resurrect the third day, then you are hoping in a fairy tale. Oh, and then he finished out the chapter so famously. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This mortal will put on immortality, and then the saying will be spoken, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Hallelujah! The sting of death is sin. Hallelujah! But we have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Listen to me today. That when I'm preaching to you, if you will embrace your cross, you will hear the best news that you have ever heard in your life. The things that God has prepared for you, you have not even begun to imagine today. We'll say it together. But you've got to embrace your cross. You've got to unite with Him in death like His. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, for if we have been united with Him in death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. Hallelujah. If you'll embrace the cross, the good news is it's only for 3 days. If you'll embrace your cross, if your God will turn your life around in your situation, will become the very thing that you have been looking for. Paul went on to the Roman church. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. There are some things in our lives that need to be brought to where, amen, that the account is cleaned out. That there's no carnality left. No lust of the eyes left. No lust of the flesh left. No pride of life left. When you pull up the accounts on FairfieldNationalBank.com and you go there to look to see what you can buy in the flesh today, and you see that all of the money's been removed from your account, and you ain't got nothing left to spend there. And then you get a letter in the mail, hallelujah, from the Fairfield National Bank. And it's got a password in there. The password is CROSSOFJESUS. You go to their website and you type it in. The username is Saint. The password is CROSSOFJESUS. And you open it up and you find out, Brother Philip, there's $1 million and you've got a brand new account.
Hey, man.
So that the body of sin would be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. No longer got to keep checking the bank account to make sure there's enough money there to pay the utility bill this month. That last time I checked, there was $1 million. I don't know, I'm going to pay your utility bill. I'm going to pay my utility bill. I'm going to pay the church's utility bill. And I'll pray if I pay everybody's utility bill. And I ain't even going to worry about it. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Sin is still rearing its head in your life. You need to find a cross and embrace it. You need to crucify some things with Christ today. Because if you will die with Christ, Paul said to the church in Rome, then you will also live with Him.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen.
And we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. And death no longer has dominion over
Him. Praise the Lord.
The good news about the cross is when you embrace it and pass through it, sin loses all power over you.
Amen. Praise God.
Problems and the situations that ruled you no longer have power over you. And you can truly walk in the freedom that Jesus gives. Now you know who I'm preaching to today, don't you? That's exactly right. I'm preaching to every person in this building. You know who the worst one is that needs to hear it? That's right. That's right. It's my mother-in-law, Sister Judy. We have got to embrace it. It's such a weird thing. It's such a creepy thing because the first thing you want to do when you feel the pain, when you even think that it's going to hurt. When I had my kids, oh, hallelujah, y'all can stand a minute. I've been standing for 30 minutes. You can stand for a couple. When I had my kids, and it was always my job to take the splinters out of their feet. And you know, if you've heard this story, what do your kids do when you're going to take a splinter? They scream and wail and they recoil and you haven't even touched them yet. Oh! And you haven't even touched them yet. That's the way we are. When we feel a little bit of pain, when we feel a little bit of discouragement, when we feel a little bit of depression, these past 2 years of being prayer warriors has taught us one thing that we needed to learn. You go to the prayer closet whether you feel like it or whether you don't feel like
Amen.
It.
Amen.
Amen. Because the answer that you need when you feel like it is the same answer that you need when you don't feel like it.
Amen.
And it's even more the answer that you need when you don't feel like it. And the answer is, take up your cross. Walk into the prayer closet, and instead of talking about your problems and your needs and your failures and your shortcomings, you go in there and you bring praise to our Holy Father, and you lift Him up and magnify Him. And He comes into that room, and He says, now let me give some resurrection power to you. Now let me give some life to you. That's what Jesus has for you if you'll embrace the cross. Let's bow our heads together today. And let us soak in this word.